Победителей не будет.
Мы знаем, что сегодня Грузия, завтра Украина, позже страны Балтийские, а позже, может, и час на мой край, на Польшу.
Слава народу победителю! Ура!
Донесли это до своих читателей, зрителей и пользователей в интернете. Победителей не будет. Мы понимаем. Но мы также и понимаем, что Россия одна из ведущих ядерных держав.
Немедленно сложить оружие и идти домой. Все военнослужащие украинской армии, которые выполнят этот требование, смогут беспрепятственно покинуть зону боевых действий и вернуться к своим семьям. Кто бы ни пытался помешать нам, а тем более создать угрозы для нашей страны, для нашего народа, должны знать, что ответ России будет незамедлительным и приведет вас к таким последствиям, с которыми вы в своей истории еще никогда не столкнулись.
Provoked by the United States and NATO forces pushing into the east, of course, we have been weakened by our strategically incompetent leaders as we focus in the West on diversity and inclusivity and making elves black. We have lost sight of the fact that Russia has emerged once again as a world superpower, a military superpower, and they invaded Ukraine simply because they could. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color. It doesn't matter if the world's falling down, the confetti won't stop. We won't stop it. Here in the studio with me is the amazing journalist, friend, and of course, diversity guest, Jorge Ventura from The Daily Caller. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Hey, Elijah, thank you so much for having me. Look, guys, I'm just here because Blaze TV needs to hit their diversity quota, so I'm the one brown guy for the week. So
yeah, what's your shirt say?
Stop censorship. We got all the logos. We got YouTube, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, all the good stuff.
Yeah, it is crazy what's going on, though, because I think a lot of us didn't really believe the Biden administration that Russia was going to invade Ukraine. It turns out, though, that NATO and the United States were sort of prepping Ukraine to invade the eastern part and sort of take back the Russian provinces. And so it looks like we're the ones who actually caused this.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically trying to have more influence on Ukraine, which is like the next door neighbor to Russia. It's like if that same country came to Mexico and tried to have all that influence. And let's not forget, too, several years ago, Ukraine actually voted in their own democratic, president, their leader. And then the United States government came in and actually overturned them and supported a coup for Zelensky. So, we're basically have been kind of poking the bear at Russia all these years.
Yeah, and I know that you and I, we're both a little bit retarded, and so it's like we're not experts on this, and so later in the show, I know that you and I both were able to listen to this amazing expert that we brought in to the show, Dr. Zamuelli, who is neither pro-American nor pro-Russia. He's just an expert on the conflict, and he just like Ukraine pills all of us on where Russia and the United States media are lying about the situation and gives us the most like absolute red pill on what's actually going on, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. But we have basically given the best response as the United States to Putin and his invasion. I know he's really scared because while they have nukes and tanks, we have 17-year-old girls on Instagram asking him to stop. And we actually have a video that just came in from the Kremlin that shows us Putin's response after he saw some of these Instagram videos of Americans just begging him. Can we play that? It's actually quite shocking. Yeah. This is Putin after seeing all the girls on Instagram just asking him to stop invading. He's like, oh my God, why didn't I think about that? Why didn't I think about that? Before we jump into
the Hollywood liberals.
Before we jump into all the insanity and the craziness here, I want to give a huge shout out to the new sponsor of the show, which is kind of shockingly convenient, MyMedic. Guys, nobody starts their day with the thought that today could be their last day of their life, unless you're in Kiev. It's true, unless you're in Ukraine. But obviously, you see, the world's so volatile. It's insane. Like, things literally just change in a moment. And we're going to talk about that. But MyMedic was born when a tragic car accident claimed the life of a family member. Bystanders with no first aid supplies or training watched and waited 25 helpless minutes for emergency medical professionals to arrive. And as they stood by, the family member succumbed to his injuries. It was absolutely unnecessary as in a tragedy. You know, a lot of people that don't need to die, die because they don't get the help they need quick enough. Too many people are unprepared for emergencies. My Medic's goal is to empower people with the necessary skills, knowledge, and first aid supplies to save lives. The MyThac Pro is not your typical box of bandages. It comes with over 100 quality first aid and trauma supplies, including a tourniquet, chest seals, quick clot, and more. Now, obviously, they have a couple different sizes. Now, I actually have the full Ukraine special, which is like if you're going to war. I have the actual war fact, which is like, I mean, dude, feel this, feel the weight of this, like literally catch this. That thing is loaded with everything you would need literally in a war or in any situation. We could be there, but Savannah's obviously a little smaller. I don't know if you know that. She's about 4'1" on a good day with heels on. Savannah, can you show your pack? Savannah chose to get the smaller pack because she's going to go out and start reporting more soon.
Nice.
Yeah. So
look at everything inside. So Lijah actually gave this to me and I was going through it and there's so much in here, and there's things in here that I wouldn't even expect. There's like energy drink packets. There's these blister guards. Lige, we talked about earlier how oftentimes when we go to protests and rallies, we get blisters because we're walking so much. So this is super cool.
Yeah, and I used to carry a FAC for protests. Now I'm preparing for war, and I won't go out in the field without one. They're guaranteed for life. U.S. made. Go to mymedic.com, M-Y-M-E-D-I-C.com, and you'll get 50% off MyFAC Pro, plus a life-saving online course absolutely free with promo code OFFENSIVE. Be prepared. Be confident. Go to mymedic.com, M-Y-M-E-D-I-C.com, promo code OFFENSIVE right now. And you want one, too. I know that.
I need one. Elijah, you actually should have sent one to Alec Baldwin. He could have used one of these.
It's true. Hey, dude, it's crazy. We have a front row view of a war on social media. We are watching a war unfold and Ukraine fall on TikTok. Like, we went from watching SJWs humiliate themselves to people like just creating TikToks and we're like, oh, as if it's entertainment. This is freaking nuts.
You gotta love it, dude. My favorite thing right now is, like I said, all the Hollywood liberals making TikToks and videos of begging Putin to stop. And I don't know if you've seen that meme yet, Elijah. It's like, oh, America going to war, and our tank is pink with a they, them pronouns.
I know. No, I know. I don't know. Do we have that video, Savannah, of the elites responding? Like, obviously, people are really shocked about this and what's going on. And we have Joy Behar.
Oh, my God. This is the best
video. She actually responded to the war in Ukraine and let us know the real issue. And what's the real issue? Can we go ahead and play that?
Estimates are 50,000 Ukrainians will be dead or wounded.
Yeah.
And that this is going to start a humanitarian crisis, a refugee crisis in Europe. We're talking about 5 million people that are going to be displaced.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heartbreaking to hear what is going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm scared of what's going to happen in Western Europe, too.
Yeah.
You know, you plan a trip. You want to go there. I want to go to Italy for 4 years. I haven't been able to make it because of the pandemic. And now this, you know, it's like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
It's just like you plan a trip to Italy. It's like you wait your whole life for it. And then Putin just like comes in and takes over a whole country.
Like, it's like, Putin, can you like not? I just can't. Like, I don't make it.
Like, look, Putin, I know you're trying to invade, but like I planned a trip. Like, could you just wait a couple more months?
Yeah, it's called the Four Seasons, not the Five Seasons. There's no season for war. I'm trying to go out, okay? Dude, the elite's response to this has been making TikToks asking him to stop. That video, I don't think we even have that video of that Hollywood elite woman.
No, we don't.
Dude, when she was like,
if I was your mother,
imagine if I was your mom, and Putin's like, yeah, all right, everyone go home. I was raised incorrectly. I mean, these people are so nuts that she was mad about the Ukraine war because it ruined her vacation plans.
No, Elijah, we need the Mexican mom version of Putin. If I was your mother, I would have hit you with a chancla, you puto.
Dude.
Oh my God.
I am going to say though, that this is so insane.
What I love too about that video, Elijah, is everyone on the view desk is just shaking their heads. Like, yeah, just being a yes man. Yeah. Yeah. Joe. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is America's response. I'm saying, like, this is what's so crazy is the American media, on a serious note, is making this seem like the start of World War III, and that Putin is this aggressor, right? And anyone who disagrees with the narrative, this is the same thing we saw with Iraq and Afghanistan, is a pro-Putin, as if the USSR is still around. We're like an anti-American hater rather than truth tellers who are fighting the war hawks who so badly are looking for a war to distract us from the insane failures on the home front and what they've been doing. But unfortunately for them, we have the internet now. We have social media that we didn't have. And we're realizing that in some ways, and I hate to say this, in terms of just international diplomacy, Putin is not in the wrong for what he's doing, because this could have been prevented if the United States had not, in not only with the CIA, caused a revolution in Ukraine, destabilized the entire country. But as we know, with Putin being so invested in the procurement and the keeping Russian civilization alive, remember that the United States and Western Europe and NATO pushed the church, the Orthodox Church in Ukraine to separate itself from the mother church in Russia. They literally split the religion and tried to take the country away and push all of the Western degeneracy into Ukraine. And of course, all of that on the border of Russia. And no wonder why Russia's mad, because of course, with the Warsaw Pact and the agreement, the United States has violated every single one of its agreements. We pushed every NATO base closer and closer and closer, with Estonia and Latvia, et cetera, across the border, that as we push this offensive in Ukraine, Russia was just like, look, you guys are weak. You're not going to do anything. We've emerged strong and we're going to invade because we can. And we're going to push back and let you know that we're tired of this. And it's like, I'm not pro Russia. Obviously they're hostile to the United States. He's not exactly a great leader, but we have no business and no place lecturing him on what he should or should not do when we do the exact same thing. We literally invaded Iraq without the UN Security Council's approval.
No, and I think people forget that. Right now, you know, if you speak out or even just tell the truth of what's happening, all of a sudden you are pro-Putin. And, you know, Republicans and Democrats in the establishment, they can't even agree that the sky is blue. But when it comes to sending American troops or pushing for war or pushing for intervention, it's the only time you ever find Republicans and Democrats actually agreeing on this issue. And it'd be the same thing if Russia was having influence on Mexico. We would respond the same way. So Russia is just responding the same way any other country would. And the thing is, if you even say anything like that, remotely like that, all of a sudden you're pro-Putin. And like I said, just pay attention to the politicians. Anytime you can find a Democrat or Republican to agree on an issue, it's a huge red flag. And this is the only issue Republicans and Republicans and Democrats are agreeing, like a Lindsey Graham, like a Mitch McConnell, who have been praising Biden's response to this so far.
Yeah, and you wonder why they feel emboldened. Let's take a look at the current state of the West and our culture, right? So they invaded, and let's look at some tweets here. So we have this individual who's like, might get canceled for this one, but this aesthetic feels so special. We have the war aesthetic. I get that you might worry about the situation if you are Russian or Ukrainian, but the rest of the world should just enjoy the apocalypse vibes.
We're just vibing,
Events
Elijah.
Like this are rare, and we should live the moment.
Just live, laugh, love, Elijah. It's just vibes.
It's not the only one.
The aesthetic.
Dude, this is the new thing, the Ukrainian war aesthetic. This is going on.
Yeah, like the war aesthetic. Oh, that's my favorite one.
I'm sorry, y'all, but why are bombings in Ukraine are so aesthetically pleasing? Like, it's giving retro alternative he, him, bi kid. Thank you, Russia, for helping me find new aesthetic.
Can they just give pronouns to the freaking bombs in Ukraine?
Bisexual bombs?
Yeah.
That's the United States. We drop bisexual bombs.
It's the aesthetic. It's just the vibe.
It's just the vibes, bro. Like, have you ever had your city bombed and then you had to, like, just sing in, like, a bomb shelter with your friends because you couldn't leave?
I mean, we're...
survive.
I didn't think that we would find a way to laugh about a war in Ukraine, but if there's a show that's going to laugh about it, it's going to be this one, because it's just so ridiculous.
And I want to expect anything less, Elijah. Anything less.
Like, there's a war. Look, okay, we do have the expert coming on soon who it's very serious and really genuinely like updates you, but I'm sorry. Like, I can't laugh at the absurdity in the United States. And like, this is why they invaded. It's like, this is the best time to do so. Like, the West is so preoccupied, like I mentioned, with this kind of stuff. Like, a war happens. I don't know if these are real. They could be fake, but that's the funny part, is I live in America and I can't tell fact from fiction anymore. Like, I don't know. And sometimes I do. Like, I play a video. Someone's like, that was actually a troll. And I'm like, how would I know that? I've seen someone do that for real yesterday. Like, it's the
same
thing.
How would
thing.
I know? That was my doctor one time. Yeah. What?
Yeah. But like, it gets even funnier because like, these are real tweets, by the way. Like, look at this. Check this out. Read this one. Read this.
Oh my.
Can you read this? Read this out loud.
This isn't discussed much, but Putin very much benefits from white privilege. Facts. I just can't see a scenario in which a black or brown man running so Russia true. Would be allowed to invade Ukraine with no devastating consequences. See Primera and 2014. White supremacy
will destroy us, Elijah Schaefer. It's all your fault.
Dude, do you think white supremacy is a white nation invading a white nation?
Yeah, another white nation.
Dude, there's going to be no black Ukrainian president. I don't think they understand that. On that note, Russia is super down to earth in their immigration policies. Like, there is a thing before globalism where, like, the United States is a little bit different because obviously, like, we border Mexico. So, like, there's always been Mexican people living around here, and we, like, imported black slaves. So we have this, like, sort of built-in, quote, diversity in the country per se a little bit. But it's like Russia, while there's many different nations and people, like, these people are so out of touch that they care about the aesthetic. Like, the privilege of white people is crazy.
I saw you, Elijah, reply to one tweet, and it was funny. It was like a tweet, and it was like, only 35% of Ukrainians are vaccinated, and now they're going to be like all yes, proud.
Yes. Look at this. Oh, great. Look at this. Put it on the screen.
Oh, there it is. Let's go.
Dude, yeah. I commented on this one on my show last night, and I was like, yeah, so everyone's coming into the bomb shelter, but like before you come in, like, are you vaccinated?
To our blind viewers, read this, Savannah. This is so insane.
A lot of people in Ukraine crowding together inside, but only 35% of Ukrainians have been vaccinated. Less than 2% have been boosted, you guys.
White supremacy.
It's like, look, I know bombs are falling, but like, also, can we see your vax card before you come in?
Yeah, I can't handle it. It's so ridiculous. But at the same time, don't forget to follow Savannah at Rapid Fire Podcast.
Why are white liberals like this, bro?
Well, I don't know. But
hashtag
like,
stop white women. But like, and maybe black women too, a little bit.
Yo. Yeah, I swear. What is really interesting, though, in the midst of all of this, is like, I just want to give. I'm gonna give a huge shout out specifically to our greatest fighters in the West, right? That we have an elite form of fighters
that have taken
the stance, risked their lives.
Yeah.
And who are those people in the West? Go ahead and go to my screen. It's our graphic designers.
Yeah,
They've really put a lot on the line to show how they stand with Ukraine. The United Kingdom put a yellow and blue square up because they stand with Ukraine, and they went a step further and lit up a building, blue and yellow.
Putin is shaking.
Dude, Putin is shaking in his boots right now. He's like, whoa. Oh, no.
It's embarrassing.
The West, yeah.
It's embarrassing because it's like, look, dude, I don't think we should have intervened. Like, this is the total psyop, and you know this. Mm. It's like, the reason why we're not intervening is because we are in the wrong. We know what we were doing, and we know from 2004 on how we've completely upended Ukraine, completely destroyed the country from within, caused a long-lasting civil war, which is still going on that nobody knows about, that we're pretending like Putin is this bad guy who just invaded. The reason why we're standing with Ukraine but not with our troops on the ground is because literally we tried to launch an offensive against Russian-backed provinces, and it's so insane as we look at all of this that, like, if we invade, we are sort of fighting against the sovereignty of the border of Russia, and it literally could cause an all-out war. And I see all these right-wing people like, if Russia attacks anymore, then we will raise their cities. No, I don't think that's how nuclear wars work, buddy.
No,
I don't,
we won't.
I don't think that's how it works.
And the U.S. government just uses Ukraine to flush out money. Obviously, we saw that with Joe Biden, his son, and Burisma. So, you know, we have just used Ukraine for all of our corruption. Like, a little bit of what you alluded to earlier, too, Elijah, was, you know, we literally back coups in Ukraine to overthrow their democratic elected leaders to install a U.S.-backed leader. So, for some reason, the media just doesn't ever seem wanting to mention that. They want to just kind of keep painting the United States as we're the great guys, we're the heroes of the world, when we're the biggest imperialists. All we do is intervene and overthrow countries and ruin their economies.
And Jorge, can I pop into this really quickly here too? Because I really want to focus in on how much the word nationalist has been demonized here in America. And why do you think that is? Because Putin is a nationalist, because he cares about his nation, he cares about his country. So here in the West, we've demonized that language so much. We've demonized people caring about their own countries and borders. That's a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. So of course, it's going to be so easy for our media to manipulate Putin and make him seem like this really bad guy.
Well, yeah, and I think it's hard for people to understand. Like, I'm not anti-American, but I am anti-American regime, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm genuinely, our government is so corrupt. Like, I love our country and what it theoretically stands for, but as we're going to point out, like, we are so broken and so full of ourselves, you cannot trust the media. Here's an example. If you go to my screen, like, Steve Brandt, which is the MSNBC's like senior analyst, right? This is supposed to be an expert, is like, what does Putin want with Chernobyl when he invades? And Malcolm Nance comes under it like, it power central North Ukraine. Like, you don't even know why they want the city. You're like, what could Russia be wanting? It's like, dude, this is your job, one of the major outlets of the United States, our media, to inform the public, and you don't have that answer. You are either functionally retarded or intentionally ignorant or trying to lie to people. And that's what I think he's trying to lie. Like, there's no reason why he would invade. It's like, there is a reason. And dude, and I'm telling you this, the only person getting close to kind of representing this accurately in the mainstream media has been Tucker Carlson.
Right.
Other than that, it's so crazy how even the Biden administration, that's why the Biden's like, they might invade. Yeah, because they know that they're trying to launch this offensive. So they know what they're doing. So they're like, we know that Putin probably won't stand for what we're doing, and he's probably going to counter us. So we're going to then, if we end up failing and we botch another CIA-led like coup in return, we're going to blame it on Russia, saying they were just aggressive and wanted land, when that's not even the case. And it's like, it's so retarded, because it's the same thing with China. It's like, we are weak in the imperialistic era. We have receded ourselves. We were imperialists. Then we're interventionists. We created 20 years of fake wars that we didn't win. Biden pulled out of Afghanistan. He failed miserably. It was totally botched. We haven't won a war in a very long time. And our enemies, and that's why I'm not like pro Putin, because I know they are our enemy, are like, dude, the United States hasn't, they're not going to do anything anymore. Look, they have a bumbling fool. And then also with the Ukraine thing, it's like, dude, look at what they try to do in Ukraine. Biden, remember when he got elected, he was like, Putin doesn't want me as the president because I stand heel to heel with him and he's not going to want me. It's like, literally, it's weird that the Russian-backed president Trump, that they hacked that election, the only election that could get hacked, 2016, because 2020 couldn't get hacked,
right?
But they didn't invade during the pro-Russia president, but the anti-Russia strongman, they chose to invade. It almost seems like perhaps,
yeah, look, I don't,
it's not what it appears.
I don't know about you guys, I just don't trust almost anything that comes from U.S. military intelligence. Anytime they say, oh, we received this report because of this, I never believe it. They lied about, obviously, Iraq, and kind of created these 20 years of war. They even lied about Syria. I know, you know, Assad is not a good guy, but they, you know, the U.S. military lied to the American people, saying that Assad was chemically bombing his own people, when actual reports show that there was no chemicals used at all. And we just kind of make up these lies for intervention. So right now it's like, we don't even know who to believe at this point. But right now you can't trust, obviously, the media, because media, whether it's left or right on this issue, are all pro-war, pro-intervention.
Yeah, I know. But so some people might be wondering, well, like, I don't understand what the hell is happening. Like, maybe you're hearing some of this for the first time. Maybe you've heard all of this and you want more information. And so we did this crazy thing. I told you guys, slightly offensive, we're not just going to laugh at people and just make jokes anymore. We're going to start actually speaking to experts, because there's no reason why Rogan should have the monopoly on that, but there's no reason why we should copy him and do the same thing. We should do our own thing and start bringing in these experts for shorter interviews, so that you guys can then take these shorter interviews. I don't watch 2-3 hour like conversations, but I want to give you 15 to 20 minute conversations with these experts that you can, you know, tell people, go to that mark, watch this and get updated. And we found somebody who is in the middle, Dr. Samueli, and we're going to talk about that. But obviously, before we jump into that, a lot of, you know, not only do you need your medical pack, but you also need a gun. The Ukrainian government is actually, you know, giving out 10,000 automatic rifles to its citizens. I thought an armed citizenry was bad, but apparently it's good in this case, and the West supports it, and I support it, and so do you. But a lot of us don't understand that, like, when you're in war, or when you're in a battle, or when you're protecting yourself, you need to carry the gun somehow, and no one ever thinks about the accessories, which is why I got to talk to you about Northwest Retention. Now, obviously, that is the Scout chest holster. That's pretty epic, actually, if you were in Kiev, but that gives you super mobility. I have one of those, and I also have their side holster custom with this custom Gatson flag. They are American-made, the highest quality materials. They are guaranteed to be rugged. They are custom for hundreds of different firearms. They have slings for your rifles, and look at how good Sav looks in it.
In the Middle East. Look at that. Sav,
what are you doing? Get out of Kiev. Get out of, you're in Kosovo or something. What that is.
You're in Durka.
Yeah.
BRB, saving some refugees.
Yeah. No, but you guys, they're so good. And honestly, the company supports your values too, which is very important. They're not like Carhartt or Black Rifle, any of these companies that just like lie to your face. I know the owner. He's super freaking cool. Check out the holsters and carrying options on their website to see everything they have to offer. Premium quality and satisfaction is guaranteed. And as I like to say with all the products, lifetime warranty. Literally all the products, we do lifetime warranties. So
I need one of those, Elijah, for my chancla right here on the chest. Boom, whip, bro.
Whoa.
Yes. Can we get a custom chancla holder?
Yeah, I need a chancla
holder. He would. If he should sponsor your podcast and give a custom chancla holder. They got you covered with holsters done right. Go to nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com. nwretention.com. Right now, promo code offensive for 10% off. And I don't know why you need 10% off, because it's literally, they're affordable and they're high quality and you're not going to.
Hey, inflation, okay. Elijah.
Yeah,
we're struggling.
Yeah, to cover inflation. Anyways, to talk about this, George and I are going to come back after this. I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Samueli, and I'll go ahead and bring him on screen. Dr. Samueli, a senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute and the author of Bombs for Peace, NATO's Humanitarian War on Yugoslavia. Welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so doctor, obviously I do not hold a PhD. I do not have the knowledge you have, and most of the people watching this are probably as confused as I am on what's happening in the world due to the bias of the media, both Russian state media, and while our media in the United States is not supposed to be state controlled, it appears to be that way in many cases, both on Fox News and on CNN. The bias is just absolutely ridiculous. So first of all, could you kind of explain to us what is actually happening right now in the conflict with Russia and Ukraine?
Well, you have to go back to December when Vladimir Putin presented two documents, two draft treaties, one for NATO, one for the United States, that would serve as a framework for a new security architecture in Europe. And the key ingredient in both of these documents was an end to NATO expansion, an end to the deployment of weapons that could reach Russian soil in the lands that were once part of the Warsaw Pact and indeed were part of the USSR, which that includes the Baltic states. During the sort of the various negotiations that have taken place since December, it became clear to the Russians that neither the United States nor NATO was taking seriously Russia's security concerns, because NATO has expanded massively since the end of the Cold War, so much so that every single country that was a member of the Warsaw Pact is now a member of NATO, and indeed the Baltic republics, which are actually part of the USSR, are also members of NATO. So because they didn't take this seriously, and Putin had said that this is a red line for Russia, Putin felt that he had to act and show that he was serious and that he couldn't go on living with NATO really just a few miles from St. Petersburg, which used to be the northern capital of Russia. So I think it's a demonstration that he is very serious about the security concerns of Russia. But there's the other aspect of it, which is that there has been an ongoing civil war in Ukraine ever since the illegal coup that took place in February 2014 under the sponsorship of the United States, particularly Victoria Nuland. We have the telephone conversations in which she was plotting with the U.S. ambassador in Kiev, plotting to overthrow the legally elected president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych. So following that coup, the Russian-speaking provinces of Ukraine broke away because they just refused to accept this new illegal government. And then the civil war between Kiev and these breakaway provinces has been going on for 8 years. There was a Minsk process that was put in place in 2015, under which, in a step-by-step process, these breakaway provinces, the Donetsk and Lugansk, would be reincorporated within Russia. And the step-by-step process involved a constitutional amendment whereby these two provinces would get a special status. There would be local elections held within these two provinces. And there would be a universal amnesty passed. Ukraine hasn't done any of those things. And it's become increasingly clear that Ukraine had no intention of implementing Minsk. And more seriously, France and Germany, which along with Russia are the guarantors of Minsk, France and Germany had no intention of applying any kind of pressure on Kiev to implement Minsk. And so what we had was now, particularly last week at the UN Security Council meeting, the ambassador of Ukraine openly saying that Ukraine had no intention of negotiating with the representatives of the Donetsk and Luhansk because that would somehow legitimize them. Well, whereas in that agreement, it's in black and white, it's part of UN Security Council Resolution 2202. It says that this implementation of Minsk has to be done by negotiation between Kiev and the representatives of the Donetsk and Luhansk. And Ukraine was openly saying, we're not going to do it, we're not going to legitimize them. And France, a permanent member of the UN Security Council, just sat there and said nothing. It was clear that they had no intention of complying with it. And I think Russia was really getting fed up with this. And I think there was also a legitimate fear on the part of Russia that given the big force buildup from Kiev, that they were going to try and mount some kind of a military offensive to bring the these breakaway provinces to heel and try to do this by force. So I think it was a kind of an anticipation of something like that. That's what's really happening. And unfortunately, the U.S. media cover none of this.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, some of this stuff I'm hearing for the first time from you. And so my question is, if the point was to recognize the independence of the eastern provinces that were Russian speaking, why is Putin then pushing forward as we're seeing right now with the bombardment of Kiev?
Well, I think that it was clear that Kiev wasn't going to accept the independence of these breakaway provinces and would continue to wage a war against them. So I think it's part of a kind of a move anticipate any kind of military activity against these republics. I mean, the republics made an immediate appeal. As soon as he recognized them, they made an immediate appeal saying, hey, we are in danger. We are threatened by Kiev. Please come and help us. And I think this is clearly, you know, Russia signed a security agreement with them and so went ahead and helped them. But I think there's a deeper sense that, and Putin has said this over and over again in the past few weeks, that Russia isn't going to live with a kind of a hostile state on its border. And what's happening is that Ukraine is increasingly kind of a de facto member of NATO, very hostile to Russia, really, you know, it's kind of driven by a desire to go to war with Russia and being sponsored by NATO. NATO just keeps pouring more and more weaponry and military advisors into Ukraine. So I think there's another aspect of that. I think, you know, Russia wants to bring to an end the influence of the so-called Galicians, the Banderistas, the sort of the people in the west of Ukraine who really do harbor great animus towards Russia, and he wants to minimize the influence of those people. So when he said in his speech, we are seeking the denazification of Ukraine, I think he wants to minimize the influence of those people. You know, he basically wants to bring Ukraine back into the Russian world, the Russian civilization. I think Russia regards as a Russian civilization, and it comprises Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus, because they're, you know, he sees them as essentially Russian people. But unfortunately, what's happened in Ukraine, particularly since the Orange Revolution of 2004, was that these Banderistas, these, you know, these people in the West, the Galicians, you know, which used to be part of Poland before they were incorporated within the Soviet Union by Stalin. These people are driving Ukraine to a kind of hostility toward Russia. And I think Russia just felt, we can't go on like this because, you know, within a generation or two, Ukraine will just be lost to Russian civilization. And Putin is someone who is very conscious of history, very conscious of Russian civilization, just felt that Russia could not allow that to happen.
So then if you say with Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia, obviously there's a lot of talks, including like on Twitter, you see trending World War III. We hear this every year at some point, World War III. Do you think that Putin does have any intention of invading or bombarding any other countries that are along the border or pushing further into Western Europe at all that could spark a greater global conflict? Like, is that a reality?
No, it's not a reality. However, as I mentioned earlier, in those documents that he presented in December, he one of the things he insisted on was that in Eastern Europe, that we go to a status quo ante to 1997. In other words, not that you know all these former Warsaw Pact countries that are members of NATO have to leave NATO. He's not insisting on that. But the NATO infrastructure that has been built up there, he doesn't want. Now, is he going to try to destroy that NATO infrastructure? I don't know. But I think if the response of the NATO powers is to start pouring in more and more heavy weaponry into, for instance, the Baltic states, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, that might gall the Russians. Now, I don't think the Russians will invade, but I think they might just simply say, we're going to take out these military air bases, airfields, radar stations that you've built up in the past few years because they are a direct threat to our security. I mean, Estonia is just a few miles from St. Petersburg. So that, I think, is a real danger because I think that's the way NATO is responding now is to beef up the easternmost parts of NATO. Russia feels that as a threat. So if that happens, I think Russia will take that out. I don't think they're going to kill anybody. I think what will happen is, you know, they'll give maybe an hour or two's notice, say, everybody leave, you know, an attack is coming. And then they'll just hit, some airfields or air bases and say, that's it. You know, we're not going to live with it on our borders. Not too different, incidentally, with, JFK's decision about missiles in Cuba. Just basically, we're not going to have this 90 miles off our coast. You know, it doesn't matter whether Cuba's a sovereign nation or not. We're just not going to have it 90 miles from our coast.
And do you think, obviously, recently with the crackdown from protesters in Canada, from Justin Trudeau, we see in the United States as well, we've seen a lot of like authoritarian style lockdown similar to Beijing. And with the U.S.'s imperialistic recent history, right, with the invasion, we have Libya, we have Iraq, Afghanistan, that those are the ones that were televised nationally. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other things that have not been so well known or covered by our media. Do you think that the U.S. has any authority to be lecturing Russia? And on that note, do you think that Russia knows that the U.S. is hypocritical and that they don't really have an ability to counter what they're doing, since in many ways we not only mirror the exact problems that we condemn in Russia, but on top of that, we also act in the same way globally? I mean, is Russia aware of that? Do they see our weakness in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, they're very much aware of that. It's a point that both Putin and Lavrov make over and over again. And the truth is, of course, that the reason why the U.S. and NATO have been able to do what they do, I mean, how was the U.S. able to pull off an invasion of Iraq in 2003 without authorization from the U.N. Security Council? How was it able to bomb Yugoslavia, a European country, in 1999, again, without authorization from the U.N. Security Council? Well, they did it because they could. They're so strong that nobody could mess with them. And so, you know, Biden and Blinken and NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg and Boris Johnson can pontificate about our values and we care about democracy. And, you know, we believe in the rules-based order. The truth is they don't believe in any of that. What they do believe in is their power to do whatever they want whenever they feel like it. What has now happened, and I think it's come as a big shock to the U.S. and the Western powers, is that Russia has reemerged on the world stage as a rival great power. And now Russia is saying, yeah, we can do what we want because we are very strong. And then if you mess with us here in our own backyard, you know, you're going to get into a lot of trouble. So it's essentially Russia is just, you know, deploying the same arguments that the U.S. and NATO has done. But, you know, fortunately, Russia isn't sanctimonious. They don't talk about democracy and values and that, we have some kind of a unique responsibility for a rules-based order and whatnot. They don't lecture the rest of the world. So, I think what's happened is the U.S. is getting a taste of its own medicine.
Yeah, and you may not be an expert on this, so I'm going to just pick your brain for a second. Obviously, with the talks about, you know, Russia being emboldened, we obviously have just on the same theater, a little bit to the southeast, China, who has emerged as, you know, an extremely competitive foe to the United States, specifically in the South China Sea. And so do you think this has either A, emboldened China to see that they can take Taiwan, and then B, do you think that this is a real possibility within the next few months or years that China will follow through on their threat to take Taiwan simply because the United States has shown itself that, not that we're on the decline, but that we understand the formidability of these countries, and that in the end with Ukraine, we won't intervene because we realize the consequences?
I think the answer is yes to both of your points. I think it's very, very significant that Russia and China are now inseparable. Just before the start of the Winter Olympics, Putin was in Beijing, and he and Xi Jinping signed a very big document specifying really just how much Russia and China are in complete agreement on every major problem in the world. And there it was within that document, the issue of that Taiwan is a part of China, and there can be no ands, ifs, and buts about it. Now, you know, on this issue of, you know, Ukraine, China has pretty much supported Russia. I mean, it pretty much has refused all of the entreaties of the Biden administration. Oh, please, please, please condemn Russia. China has refused to do so. So essentially it's saying we've got your back to Russia. Now, China will probably want that favor returned. And, the Chinese may well think this is as good a time as any to resolve this problem of Taiwan once and for all. I mean, it's been going since 1949. It's about time to, resolve this problem once and for all. So, I think, you know, if you're a Taiwanese, you probably have to worry about the immediate future. Probably not a bad idea to start thinking about negotiating the terms of reincorporation with China, because I think China may, you know, particularly Xi Jinping, who I think wants to be a kind of a historic leader of China along the lines of Mao and Deng Xiaoping, he may well think that this will be his legacy of bringing Taiwan back into the fold.
Well, you know what? Thank you so much, Doctor, for sharing with us your vast knowledge and understanding. We really appreciate that. And obviously, whenever we have somebody else on to share, is there anywhere particular on social media that people can follow you and continue to keep up with your thoughts, ideas, and, of course, any future work that you might produce?
Right. I'm on Substack, so people can follow me on Substack. I'm also on Twitter. And I also do a daily podcast with my colleague, Peter Lavelle. It's called thegaggle.locals.com. So please go there and perhaps even subscribe, which would be very, very nice.
Yeah. And of course, you can find the links if you're listening to this, you're a blind viewer and you're on podcasts, you can find the links to all of the places you can follow the doctor in the description below. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There are very few times when I'm reminded of just how stupid and uninformed I am when you talk to someone that smart. Dr. Samueli, I mean, you were listening in on that. I mean, we're, you know, obviously you're a reporter and stuff, but like, thank God for people like that who are just intelligent and can update us and give us the information that we need.
Yeah, we just need the full scope of the story. Things are not so black and white, especially when it comes to, you know, foreign policy and all the lies that both the left and the right wing mainstream media is giving us when it comes to this issue. But it was a great breakdown, and I might need to listen to that again, man.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. I know. And please, please send that to your friends and your family and have them get updated so that they don't believe the lies in the media. And we're trying to bring that unbiased to you, just what's going on and making sense of it. Because, like, obviously, most of us are more familiar with domestic policy, and I'm not going to lie and pretend like I know everything about everything. And I'm just so excited that people are willing to share with us, especially because most of the time we just have, like, you know, black disabled Barbies on the desk and whatnot. But I
was like,
clear it.
Where's it?
No, I come in and I'm like, Dr. Samueli's there. And I'm I gotta take these off the desk and pretend to be a serious person for five minutes.
No more clown pills. Elijah.
No more clown pills in the moment. And we're gonna talk about this, though, because there's a lot of talk about our morals and our values and why why Putin's bad because we're good people, he's bad. When in reality, we're going to obviously look at some of the things in the West that we're not exactly somebody to be pointing out the flaws in another country, especially recently. But before we get into that, guys, a huge shout out to this sponsor of the show, 3 Day Blinds, because sometimes I don't want to see what's going on in the world. And a lot of times I just don't want to see out my windows. But I did not know how important blinds were and changed the value of a home and curtains until I actually got my house decked out with 3 Day Blinds. It is so cool. I remember I told you guys I wasn't going to get motorized blinds. Jorge, they came to my house, explained to me like everything about blinds. I didn't know anything and the quality. They and I ordered and they put in the most high quality elite blinds that are custom fit to my windows.
I need that,
that are motorized. I press a button and everything goes up in my house and I press it again and it goes down and I can control on remote on my phone on everything.
That's sick.
They're all American made. They're the highest custom quality, just endless options and designs. And guys, I'm telling you this, not only is it cool for me because I'm like lazy, I just wake up in the morning, press a button, and my whole house brightens up, and at night it closes, but your wife will love you forever if you give and your girlfriend, whoever it is, your mom, even if you get them as a gift. I literally, one of you guys did your whole house, I think like $100,000 worth of like blinds or like something like that. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But honestly, they're very affordable and fast, and they've changed my entire understanding of this. You can literally be on the couch and order, and 3 Day Blinds can handle everything in just a few days. Right now, you get 3 Day, if you go to 3 Day Blinds, buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blind shades and drapery for a free, no charge, no obligation consultation. Just head to 3dayblinds.com/offensive. That's the number 3DAYBLINDS.com/offensive. Use my promo code offensive. That's right. Buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/offensive and use my promo code offensive. One last time. That's the number 3DAYBLINDS.com/offensive. And Savannah, you know, you've seen what they've done in my house and I'm going to say
this house looks like the Four Seasons, bro.
Dude, I need a
hotel. I'm like, damn, it's nice house in here.
It's a hotel now. It's like pretty crazy.
Anyway, no, I need to check that out.
Yeah, check them out and upgrade your home. And they have so many options. And I'm telling you, it's the one part of your house you didn't know you needed. Get rid of those crappy plastic blinds. Do the upgrades.
Especially for
you
dudes. A lot of guys, we don't care about blinds. So
yeah, you don't care about what I'm saying, but here's the best part.
But this is great.
I don't have to care anymore because I press a button and I don't see them and I press a button and they go down.
That's my dream, is to have motorized blinds. So
yeah, I want the
3 Day Blinds. Hit them up. Hit them up.
Dude, seriously,
I'm trying to feel like Scarface when I wake up. Just hit that one button and
3 Day Blinds. I want to feel like literally, a mob boss.
Yeah, I want to feel like a mob boss.
I feel like I'm
3 Day Blinds, 10% off, slightly offensive. American made, Mexican installed.
I might,
we got you, guys.
I might
forget like, about it.
I might invade Mexico. I feel like a Putin. I'm like, I feel like a mob boss. I'm like,
Elijah, get some nice ass blinds.
Let's go invade Mexico. Yeah.
Out here.
Yeah. I never thought about it until I worked with them and I'm like, damn, I'm like, everyone should do this in their house. Okay. So let's talk about this. Like do we have the footage, Savannah, of the protesters getting arrested? Like, in Moscow.
Yes.
So you know this, when we're kids and we're raised on this, or even just like a few years ago, we think, oh, Russia bad. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Russia's authoritarian. Like they arrest protesters that are protesting war. We're the West. We don't do that. We're not evil and bad. We're freedom countries.
Right.
You know, our vice president was in a stroller at a Martin Luther King Jr. and said, freedom. Freedom. Like we're the free country. And so I'll play this video. Check this out. Okay, so, right, you see all the anti-war protesters getting arrested, and like, I mean, two years ago, before the pandemic, I would have saw this, been like, damn, I'm so glad I live in the West.
Right.
Like, people are getting arrested for this, but in 2022, I couldn't tell you if that's Moscow or Ottawa.
Oh, I know. And not only that, not only also arresting protesters in Ottawa, but beating them. I mean, batons, cracking windows into trucks and cars. The freezing of bank accounts is the most alarming part of all of it. But beating up journalists too. A major shout out to the guys at Rebel News. They've been working hard on getting those videos on the ground, but they've been getting beaten up. I saw one of their journalists been arrested. And this is happening in the West. And guess what? No Western leaders even speak out on it.
No, they don't. They don't care because like, it's so interesting that as we condemn and take this moral superiority, we're absolutely have no standing. It's embarrassing.
Like, it's embarrassing.
Trudeau literally said we stand against authoritarianism and we stand for freedom and for democracy, while he's literally putting people in prison for 10 years. And killing their pets, selling their cars, and taking away their money because they wanted freedom. We have no position to be condemning Putin. It's not that Putin is good. It's just that we're not in a position to condemn him. And so like they want you to say, well, if you don't condemn Putin, then you're pro Putin. And it's like,
who are we though? Let's look in the mirror. What happened in Canada? The funny thing too, Elijah, was the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, was the only president of my knowledge to call out Canada. And one point that he made, which I think he was right on the money, is if those type of behaviors were happening in the Middle East or Russia, then, you know, the U.S. government would be up in arms saying how much we need to intervene. It's a human rights violation. But when it's our neighbor and let's not forget these protests that were getting squashed by the security forces, it's a literally worker uprising. We're talking about truckers. You're talking about a true working class movement. And so if they're willing to do this, then everyone, you know, in the West stays silent. But if this was in the Middle East, if this was in Syria, oh man, we would already have American troops over there. Spreading a little democracy, of course.
I think we have this as well. We have this video of Trudeau, where you realize that this really is a position where the West doesn't really exist anymore. And the reason why I mean that is because our countries are controlled now by the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. by Klaus Schwab, and they are in this movement where you go, why are we operating in a way that reminds us of our enemies? It's because our enemies have taken control of our countries, and we no longer stand for democracy. We no longer stand for freedom. And it makes me genuinely fear for our future, because our enemies will be emboldened against us, and they do want to see us destroyed, but we're not, because we have no moral high ground. Our governments will have a very difficult time getting the people to support a war for moral reasons, because our governments express no morality at home. It's like, well, you express no morality here,
right?
Why would I care about what's happening in Ukraine or Russia when we do the same crap right now? Like, that's where I'm at. I'm like, you can't convince me to go to war in Ukraine when you didn't speak out against Justin Trudeau. If people spoke out against Justin Trudeau, condemned it, we intervened, he got, you know, arrested, or he had to resign because of global pressure, then I'd be like, okay, maybe we do have a moral responsibility in other countries to help. But it's like, if our neighbor up north, we don't care. If our border down south, we don't care about protecting it. Why am I supposed to believe Kamala Harris when she says we have the duty to protect, you know, Russia's borders, and Russia has the duty to protect their own, when, you know, we don't even protect our own borders? Like, it's so dumb, and they think we're dumb, but we're not, and we see right through it. So I don't even support our own government. I don't support my own country right now.
No, same here. Look, the U.S. government, all they've done is lie these past 20, 30 years, getting us into war. So of course we cannot trust them. Then, you know, we want to act like we are the world police. We're on this moral high ground because the United States always does the right thing. I mean, there's lots of books out there. I highly encourage the viewers, go check out books and check out the, you know, there's great books out there where they interview a bunch of people in the Middle East, and then you get to get exposed to all the war crimes that the United States has committed with their imperialism motives. And I mean, like I said, I can't trust them. Maybe you guys can't, but anything from the U.S. military intelligence, I really don't trust. We are no moral high ground with all the war crimes that the United States has committed.
Russia's fighting the Great Reset.
And we just actually committed a war crime just recent where we actually bombed a family in Syria after the Biden administration told us that no one was killed. We found out that at least like 8 kids were killed in that. So what about that? You know, that never makes it into the mainstream.
I know, they're like, he blew himself up. I was like,
that was a lie. They blew himself up.
Yeah, like, he blew himself up and took out an entire building.
Right.
That sounds like a drone strike. It was like, literally, it's like, there's like a U.S. military, like a bomb scrap, and they're like hiding it. It's like, oops, that's, he used one of our bombs to blow himself up. You're like, bro, you were just killing children. There's nothing more the U.S. government loves other than homosexuality is killing brown children. Like, that's just like, it's a pastime.
And don't forget, under the Obama administration, we bombed the Middle East every single day under that administration. So,
and to not,
we to killed Trump, a lot of black and brown kids there.
Trump was strong. Trump, I believe under the Trump administration, we killed some Russians as well in Syria, which is pretty, pretty insane. But I do want to remind you this, like, this is what we're fighting. This is why we have no moral high ground. Let's play video 11.
This young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, half of this cabinet, are actually young noble leaders of the World Economic Forum. We penetrate the cabinets.
The change is not just happening. The change can be shaped by us.
We have to prepare for a more angry world. How to prepare? Take the necessary action to create a fairer world. I see the need for a great reset.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
There is only one way this pandemic is going to go. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
The next crisis is already waiting for us around the corner, and it is the climate crisis.
Yeah, so Russia and China are just like, they don't care about this. The West has completely fallen to this, you know, crisis after crisis to take away our rights and create a police state. And so it's like, as we are literally succumbing to this, as we're fighting in America, I'm fighting it. That's why I don't hate America. I don't hate the people. I just know that the current
government
is
regime,
in line with this. And so it's like, I don't blame Russia for hating us. I don't blame China for hating us. And I don't blame them for being on the offensive. And that's okay. Like, as an American, you're not anti-American by understanding that our enemies hate us for a reason. And it's not anti-American to push that. You don't have to be a leftist to be like, America sucks. It's like, no, America doesn't suck. But until we can take back our government from the central banks and these systems and from the powerful elites that control them, like Klaus Schwab and his goons, we are going to keep losing. We're going to keep being distracted, and they're going to get their way. And I'm sorry about to say this, but it's like, there is no West. There is no free West. We don't have the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis and you know, wanting to protect our sovereignty and our understanding. This isn't 2001 that, you know, we need to invade Afghanistan because we need to stand for our people and get revenge for the great nation and bond together. Like, we're really in a hole here. I'm not trying to be a doomer. It's just, it's very serious we're at. And until, you know, someone like Trudeau, you know, even if he's assassinated, imagine this. He gets killed. They have an entire list of young global leaders.
They'll just
install the new one. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're in this illusion that the U.S. government always has our best interests. Let's not forget, after 9/11, the Patriot Act came. After the financial crash in 2008, the banks got richer. And after the COVID-19 pandemic, it was the greatest transfer of wealth in history in 2020. Billionaires were 55% richer after the pandemic. So the working class, middle class, and the average American keeps losing. Hopefully those folks start to wake up that we're in this illusion that the U.S. government has our best interest. It's just a lie.
Right. And you know this because we saw this with the pandemic.
Yep.
Like, oh yeah, you want us to fight morality. People are they're losing their livelihoods, their jobs. They're being barred human rights in our own country for not getting jabbed with something that we've never been told what the long-term side effects are, the studies or anything. And I mean, and you people do still care in America about what doing right, even if our government's doing wrong. And you're one of those people. I know you worked on a documentary too about this. I mean, can you tell, like, what was the point behind that? What was the documentary?
Yeah, we just released our new documentary. It's called Hero 2-0. And we wanted to tell all the stories of, you know, first responders like cops, the nurses, teachers, who have been fired for not taking the vaccine due to a mandate, for not complying. And these are folks who had made a personal decision, and they were on the front lines of the height of the pandemic. So while everyone else was quarantined, they were still out there, and then most of them have already contracted COVID and now have been fired. Not only that, but have been demonized by the media. I mean, you turn on mainstream media, they have demonized these people as QAnoners and anti-vaxxers. I mean, they're just literally regular Americans, you know, that have families just like us who want to support. It's just that they made their own personal decision. They don't want to be forced by the government. And look how these states also just dingle that paycheck over these people. So we wanted to do something for them to tell their story, just because the corporate media has been attacking them so hard and have demonized them. We wanted to give them a voice. So we finally put that out, representing something for the workers. So that the documentary is called Hero to Zero. And then everyone could find it. We made our own website for it. So it's herotozerodoc.com. We also have a trailer there so you can share it with a family friend. But please help us get these stories out. One of the firefighters featured in that documentary, his name is Josh Satley from Beverly Hills. He's been placed on unpaid leave since October. So till today, Elijah, he hasn't got paid. He doesn't know if he's going to get fired or not because the county just has him in limbo. He has a family of four, a wife. So these are true Americans. So this is happening in the United States. This is happening in the West. This should be a crimes against humanity, what we're doing to our workers.
No, I don't know. And I think, you know, huge shout out to Eastern Freedom. He's really cool. Super basic.
Yeah, those videos are based.
Yeah, he's really cool. And I really have appreciated his edits over the last couple years. Actually, he's been making amazing things. He made this other video that I want to share with you guys. We love to amplify. He's a small creator, but this show is very big on amplifying like emerging voices and people who are out there.
Minority voices, Elijah. You do the best at that.
There's nobody in the world who's less racist and more pro-minority than me. There's not one. It is true. I'm the only white person in the room right now. Like, literally, that's true. I That's because I want to be the minority, so I put myself in your shoes so I know what it feels like. You know what I mean? I'm really, really open to this.
There you go. Thank you for your sacrifice, Elijah.
You're welcome. I know. Literally, who cares about Ukraine? Talk about my sacrifices. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you died fighting a country invading you. Well, how about putting minorities on a podcast? You know? Thank you. You're welcome. This is true. This is true peak masculinity. He did make one recently, kind of just explaining the famous quote about hard times with Jordan Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
Of just like, we're going to enter a season. I keep telling people, I'm not doomer pilled, but just, it's going to get very bad and things are going to progressively get worse over the next 3 years. We might be able to turn it around after 2024. I'm not sure. Right. But we have a pretty good timeline because the Democrats are very unpopular in the United States and the support for wars and these things are very low in our countries. And we've really lost a lot of our core structures, strength, and institutions. But I just want to remind you of this video number 6 of Jordan Peterson sort of reiterating the truth that we have weak people in our nation. You know, we have a man named Robinette, you know, running the country. They create hard times and they're getting weaker and weaker as we're seeing mm-hmm. Pete Buttigieg and, you know, that homosexual drag queen guy in charge of like energy. I mean, it's really crazy. They're weak. Let's go ahead and let's watch video number 6.
Things get to terrible places one tiny step at a time. And before you know it, you're going to be back 3 miles from where you started, and you'll have done it one step at a time. And then you'll go, oh, how'd I get here? Well, I pushed you a little farther than you should have gone, and you agreed.
Dat er een punt komt dat wij wakker worden. Dat we inzien dat dit een collectieve psychose is. Maar het belangrijkste, en dat zijn mijn afrondende woorden, dat we inzien dat met als voorwendsel een of andere hysterie over deze Chinese griep een infrastructuur is opgetuigd die op elk willekeurig moment, wegens elk willekeurig voorval, opnieuw kan worden aangewend. Lockdowns, mondkapjes, afstand houden, niet meer reizen, geen handen meer schudden, belachelijke experimentele injecties laten inspuiten. Deze coronatijd was een gehoorzaamheidstraining. Globalistische plannen kunnen doorgang vinden en de volgende stap richting mass surveillance en totale controle kan worden gezet.
Can you just see why?
That video has me hyped, bro. I'm like ready for.
I know. I'm buying more guns.
I'm ready to take back our country after watching that.
Yeah, brother, let's take it back.
I'm almost like I'm actually. That's why I told Sav I'm considering coming out of retirement and reporting and getting more serious and like.
We need you out there, dude.
I think the time is coming when there's going to be a need to. And it's very, very, very soon to start getting out there because what it is like this footage, we did like what we're seeing here and the way that these police, this is around the world. This is the West.
Yeah.
Like that's my whole point in all of this is like, if in the West you still think that there's some holy alliance and we have some moral, you know, fortitude, I mean, like literally we have child drag queens being promoted as normal. No wonder why people that are Christian nations hate us. I mean, look at that. Look at these. These are just ordinary people asking for the freedom to get on a plane. I mean, I'm still shocked. We're in this, years into this. I never would have predicted this. Like, this is crazy. I didn't know you would become illegal for me to travel. Like, I never knew one day I couldn't go to Canada.
I mean,
because I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I couldn't go to Canada because of medical, like, I didn't get an experimental jab.
With Australia? I know, Elijah, your wife's from there. I mean, the fact that you guys can't even go, you know, to visit their family. I know Sydney put out a tweet earlier this month saying that her brother got married in Australia and she couldn't be there. And I mean, who would have thought that this would be happening? And for me, the biggest takeaways too is why are the Americans taking so long to wake up and protest and actually do something about it? I was just at the anti-vaccine mandate protest in D.C. where 30,000 people came out, which was, it was great. But it's like, why did America take so long? And that same day in Belgium, in Brussels, they were able to pull 100,000 people out. Something about here in America where we're this illusion that it can never happen here, it's been happening. And it happens with censorship. Right now, Elijah, you know, you and me can't even say certain words because we know this video will be taken down by YouTube and all that. So it's the censorship is here. We've already lost freedom of speech. They're working on 2A. And it seems like the American people are just too consumed by McDonald's to care.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows you it's been decades in the making. Like, it's the lulling to sleep mm-hmm. of the masses. Bro, there's a reason why they want us so divided. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Like, and in the left-wing media is like, oh, you know, Ron DeSantis is speaking at CPAC and he's only talking about our country and not Ukraine. They've made it seem like it's a bad thing to even care about the issues mm-hmm. back home. Like, we just need to think about other countries. Dude, no, you know what I care about? Seeing Justin Trudeau arrested and I've told people, like, I so badly want to play Call of Duty with him and go on a kill streak. Like, I just, that's what I want. I want nothing more than these people to see the, to see justice. And I know what that justice is, and you know what that justice is. But it's also like, there's going to be no escape, but now we just manage through this and we make sense of it. And we continue to get together and to focus on what we can control. And Savannah, you brought this up, like, they want us distracted. And the reason why I don't care is because not just with Canada and our neighbors, but what's happening here at home. Mm-hmm. You found this video, right? Video number 12.
Oh yeah, I did find this video here. Yeah. And we'll play some of it here, but it's basically like a black looter.
No, stop. Don't fight her, no.
Robbing an Asian store.
Don't do that to her. No, give her her stuff. Y'all don't do that to her, that ain't right. She paid for that. I got you on camera though. That's up. Why y'all doing her like that? Let her out. Come out, sis. Come on, you can make it. Oh, nah, she's stuck.
Stop Asian hate.
Damn. They got you, sis.
So, I know these are your parents.
Give me your
here,
mom's
Savannah.
Number. What's her number?
That's our store. So I know this is personal, but I mean, like, Savannah, just tell people, because like, people are listening to this. What is happening here? Like, this is a current state of our country.
So basically, a black looter robs an Asian-owned store, and then this guy is recording what's going on, and he's like saying, he says Black Lives Matter at the end of this video, and he's encouraging this woman to run away and to commit this crime against this local business. So this is what's going on here at home, and I mean, that's what I was talking to you too about. It's like, the media and our politicians, of course, want us distracted by Russia, Ukraine, because they don't want us to focus in on the complete degradation of our own country from within. We are being destroyed. And the biggest threat to America is the person sitting in the White House right now. Not Putin and not China. The biggest threat to our country is the Biden regime, truly.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and like, that's what's funny, because we have three different ethnicities on the screen. And I think one thing all of us can agree on is like, black people ruined our cities, just straight up. Like, they're Democrat policies. That's a super cop out. It's kind of weird that there's a common denominator between every area and every city. And yeah, Democrats might have created policies that allowed that, but also their policies ruined the black communities genuinely. And then we see where our cities, our great cities, are unsafe. They're like, I was watching TikTok. Dude, this is crazy. You're still in LA, kind of, but I was watching TikTok and this girl was like, the security measures I take when I go outside living in a dangerous city. And I thought it was gonna be Kabul, but it turned out in the end to be LA. And she wears like a bulletproof vest underneath her stuff and like brings a gun and stuff. And she's like, well, I'm a CEO. I have to protect myself. But I have friends that no longer carry purses in LA. Like, they stopped carrying designer bags. And that's been a common thing. There's warnings to not even carry designer bags. Like, our cities are so dangerous and so unsafe, so dirty. And like, it's crazy. In LA, it's like, it's mostly Hispanics, but then there's like black homeless people everywhere. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? In Hollywood and stuff. And it's like, it's so past the point of even being able to stand up and say, yeah, Putin's bad. It's like, dude, we're kind of in many ways worse.
Very true. Then the kind of the downfall of cities actually started around 2008, 2009, when the Republicans and Democrats sold all the great middle class kind of manufacturing jobs to China in the NAFTA deal. And that really started up everything, right? So all these jobs get shipped to overseas in China now in the NAFTA deal. Then we started to see the opioids get flooded into these same cities. And that's actually really what destroyed cities. But I think the more important thing, Elijah, is it started actually to destroy families. And once we started mm-hmm. to lose the family culture in the United States, we're kind of seeing the downgrade of our society, right? After that NAFTA deal, we saw divorce rates in the United States go up because everyone's starting to lose their homes and not be able to pay their mortgages. And then you saw not only families split up, but then you saw the opioid crisis here in America, as in those families started to use those drugs. So ever since the NAFTA deal, we kind of started to see the downgrade of cities. And then after that, we started to see the voting in of progressive district attorneys. I'm from California, so the district attorney in my county is George Gascon. Very soft crime policy. I mean, he's probably the most progressive DA out of all the United States. He actually just made some recent news for there was a man who was supposed to serve 50 years for a murder. He only served 6. So that's I mean, with all these things, I mean, now this is where we're at. And dude, we have more division than ever. The greatest income of inequality that we ever seen, disparity in the United States. We're living through that era right now. And then opioid crisis and fentanyl on top of that.
Well, and this is where we're headed as we kind of bring this to a close, as we watch the world unfold. Like, while they're getting emboldened and stronger, the United States is so distracted. If you go to my screen, Savannah, the Department of Justice is shutting down a China-focused anti-espionage program largely because of perceptions that has unfairly painted Chinese Americans and U.S. residents of Chinese origin as disloyal, meaning we're just shutting down our Chinese spy program because...
And then they spy on us.
So yeah, because it'll be racist.
If you're not white, they're not going to investigate you.
Correct.
Is that what
we
I'm
don't,
hearing
we, well,
right
we,
now?
We don't want them, we don't want the spies to feel discriminated against.
That's
so
great.
It is interesting. We're going to keep trying to figure this out. That's why I know Savannah said she's going to start reporting more as well, because it's just it's necessary because every institution is completely collapsed and failed, and we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future.
All of the B-roll that we just watched in those videos, none of that was mainstream media footage. That was all independent people that took that footage because, like you said, Elijah, the mainstream is going to go stand in front of a burning trash can and be like, fiery but mostly peaceful. It seems like everything's going great here, guys. Don't look at the cops brutalizing these citizens. Everything's great.
It is. No, it absolutely is true. And we're going to keep, like I told you, slightly offensive. You're going to end up getting more of the show. At the same time, we're changing a lot of things around here in the future. Please stay tuned. Stay up to date. And we're going to stay honest and real with you guys. I don't know what's going on in the world. I'm figuring it out along with you as we make it happen. And continuing to try to make sense of it all in a typical fashion. Of course, the Diversity Coalition will be back next week. I promised you a new member today. But as it turned out, they are currently all busy creating... social media posts to show their solidarity. So they couldn't be around here because they're tweeting in support and making TikToks
important.
And stuff.
So important right now.
Yeah. No, seriously, they're doing the Lord's work. They're really, really standing up. And I do want to say we actually did get a post from one of our members. Well, actually, I will say this. The only member who's not tweeting is currently Fukmi, victim of Asian hate.
Oh, and
because
her
arm got cut off. So
we also didn't announce that we are doing like the blue and yellow lights for Ukraine as well here in the Slightly Offensive studio, as you guys can see behind me with my sign.
Yeah.
Yes. So we are also doing the blue and yellow lights because we stand with Ukraine.
We do. And I also want to remind you this too. Like, and in the end, like people say, why don't you do more for the country? Why don't you do more? Why don't you do more? It's like, well, I can't because the most has been done. Check this out. Just to remind you guys, like furries stand with Ukraine. And I was like, can't beat that. People who dress up in furry suits are standing for Ukraine. So it's like, literally, there's nothing more we could do. I can't do anything to help them. Like, they did it.
But could you imagine, like, a furry on the front lines with an AK just charging at you?
Be kind of wild. I could. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see that on the news tomorrow.
At this point, it's like, nothing surprises me, so...
It's like, have you seen it in South Park?
I've been blackpilled. I've been
howling in solidarity. They howl in solidarity. It's just too much. But of course, we're
black pilled, Elijah. We're doom pilled.
I'm ever pilled.
We're clown pilled.
We took too many pills, and now we're just waiting to OD start the rapture.
I know all this folklore, the ghost of Kiev, like these like fake stories coming out, just fake stories to make us think that
start
like,
the war propaganda,
we're
boys.
Like, we're not completely losing and completely screwed in the world. Anyway. Happy Friday from Slightly Offensive. George, where can people follow you? Where can they support you? And also, as a reminder, if they tuned out for a little bit, where can they find that documentary?
Yeah, so you guys can follow me on Instagram. It's just Jorge Ventura TV. Follow me on Twitter, which is my last name, Ventura, with the word report all in one. Like that, you guys could check out all the breaking news. And check out the new documentary, Hero2ZeroDoc.com. Hero2ZeroDoc.com. Like I said, telling the stories of the first responders for making a personal choice and have been punished by the state for doing so.
And
thank you so much, Elijah, for having me back on.
It's
always fun. And I'm always here to help you hit your diversity quota.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm here for.
That documentary was very similar to the quote about El Macron, which said even if you are a zero, you can still be a hero.
There
size doesn't always matter. It's how you use it, even if it looks like you lose it. All right. Make sure you follow Savannah as well. Rapid Fire Podcast. Show some support, guys.
Yep.
You really got to support her there, as well as making sure that you support her at Sav Says on YouTube. Get all the craziness and the madness because obviously... I could die tomorrow and the show could go away. And so you got to find a way to follow Sav and keep up with her despite whatever happens on this show. Don't forget to follow me everywhere on social media. And remember, this is a audio only podcast. I encourage you to download it and also to leave a 5-star review wherever you can leave those reviews. They're free. They don't cost you anything. And being demonetized, it's a huge way that we get advertisers and keep the show going and are going to continue to be able to expand very, very soon. And you might get them read on the show. I'm going to read a couple to you as a thank you for leaving the reviews. We have a review from Licks-a-Lot. Very weird. Best show on YouTube. The episode with LD was wholesome and informative. Keep up the great work. I can't wait for you to get back out on college campuses. True, true, true.
Elijah, although, back on college campuses.
Well, dude, I got invited and Yaff blocked me.
Oh, they did? You're too base for Yaff?
They were like, yeah, they were totally fine. And then it was all of a sudden like they had to cancel the whole event and got blocked. And then they just like threw in the email and John Doyle's blocked too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm blocked from speaking at Yaff events forever. I'm blacklisted.
Jeez.
Oh, it's so funny.
You should have been more pro-war, Elijah.
Yeah. And then I was like, why was I blocked from speaking at Yaff? And I went to their Twitter. I'm like, I don't know how I'm not aligned. And then their most recent posts were promoting Mike Pence and Dan Crenshaw. And I was
Okay.
I'm not into bombing brown kids. So it's like, I'm sorry that I'm not into bombing brown children. It's like, dude, you're too controversial. Yeah. Maybe if you wanted to drone strike families, we might let you speak at colleges.
That's American,
maybe if
Elijah.
You were invested in Raytheon and you cared about the stock market a little bit more.
Did you say you're anti? Are you not promoting Pfizer and Moderna vaccines? Get off. No speaking on our college campuses.
Absolutely.
So,
not.
By the way, guys, I am open. I'm going back. I'm getting out of retirement from public speaking, and I am going to all promote it starting maybe next week. I am open to speaking at your schools, your campuses. But if you're trying to do it through Yaff, apparently I'm blacklisted now. I can still speak through Turning Point USA, I believe.
I love that. I believe it's like a 50-50.
I mean, I spoke on their main stage at their conference, but now that I got blocked.
You're at MFest too?
Yeah, I spoke at America Fest. I can, and also you can raise my, I can speak at College Republicans. I can speak at YAL, Young American Liberties, I think. We'll just find out. Hey, invite me and see how many organizations I'm blacklisted from. I was like, we should make a board and just like put the names down of like people that have made it illegal for me to speak. Yeah, join the anti-censorship right wing by showing how much gatekeeping is still alive.
Oh, I know.
It's like so alive, all right? How many more Mexicans do I need to bring on my show before I can get off? So it's a quota.
Maybe if we had just one more. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I'll find you one, Elijah. On my show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Elijah's trying to get himself canceled. And he's just like, I keep getting demonetized. I don't even know why.
No, I tell everyone.
I can't speak at Yaff. I don't know why.
Yeah, Elijah's whole entire... like goal for the show is to just get deleted.
Yeah. I know. It's like, it's like, yeah, why does Yaff not want me to speak? Mm-hmm. Us with a hatchet, like chopping off an Asian's arm and being like, celebrate Black History Month by acknowledging Asian hate.
It's a mystery.
I don't know.
Truly.
I liked it. I thought it was a good bit. we also have a review from JD Grower Gang 7. Hell yeah. The best worst show. I'm all about it. I joined Blaze for Crowder and Elijah has blown me away. Culture, comedy, politics, and Christianity, fantastic. As a converted agnostic to Christianity and libertarian towards the right wing instead of libertarianism, I have nothing but thanks for expanding this view towards myself and others on the fringe, the fringes of alternative thought.
Ooh,
that's pretty good. And don't forget to support the show directly by joining Blaze TV in our fight for censorship at blazetv.com/Elijah. You get 10% off with my promo code Elijah. And remember, there's two ways to become an official SOB, a slightly offensive backer. Number one, you join Blaze TV. And number two, it's free. Join the Telegram chat, t.me/slightlyoffensive. Join the insanity and the other mentally ill people and the meme magic. It's so good. It's so insane. And we love you guys and have massive support. Huge shout out to George for coming on. The show Ventura, make sure you follow him and his new podcast, which is
The Ventura Report. We're set to almost launch, but check out the documentary Hero to Zero. We also got the Cartel documentary as well, carteldoc.com. And the news never stops under this administration.
Yep. And even if the studio ever shuts down, I told you, rain or shine, the show will continue, even if the other shows don't. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.